If you see me shuffling a lot more pages than I normally use for my homily, I wanted to reassure you that you won't be here for the next hour. I had eye surgery on my left eye 12 days ago, and though the swelling in black and blue have gone down some, I still have trouble seeing fine print. So 16-point font and double spacing have come to my rescue. As a hospital chaplain, I have heard many stories over the years, some very sad and some inspiring. I'd like to share a story with you today that I believe is a blend of both. I first met Anne, which is not her real name, about a year ago at Rex Nursing and Rehab Facility in Apex. Her mother-in-law had just died, and Anne was very upset. Though she had been divorced from her husband for many years, Anne had always stayed in close contact with her mother-in-law. Anne's nurse asked me to speak with her, but when I went to Anne's room to talk to her, she wasn't there. I found her out in the garden. She was sitting in a wheelchair with a special attachment supporting her right leg out in front of her. She was about 54 years old and looked very tan and fit. We first began to talk about her mother-in-law, and then our conversation drifted to why Anne was recently admitted to a rehab facility. She suffered from diabetes, and her foot was not responding to treatment. The circulation in her toes was not good, and she was mad at her doctor. She said that despite her complaints of numbness, etc., he had never checked the pulse in her foot until it was too late. She said she wanted to warn other diabetics to get second and third opinions if necessary. She kept saying that she was praying so hard that her foot would be saved. She said her vision had already been affected, but she wanted to walk again on her own two feet. She said that over and over again. I just want to walk out of here on my own two feet. Her anguish was palpable. Anne became one of the patients I would check in with each week. As our meetings progressed, the news about Anne's foot became worse and worse. She was told that her toes would have to be amputated. She again said how hard she was praying to prevent this from happening. There was hope for a while. Tissue was healing. She thought her prayers were working. She said she wasn't going to give up hope. After several weeks, her hopes were dashed because again her foot wasn't responding to treatment. Her surgery date was set. At this point, she was told she would lose half of her foot. But Anne came down with a bad cold, which went into bronchitis. She was frustrated with herself and the delay. When she was better, another surgery date was set. She again said she was praying for a cure, that this surgery would not have to take place. She wanted to get about the task of becoming an advocate for other diabetic patients. We were talking one day, and I told her it sounded as if she had found a ministry to pursue. She looked at me with a smile on her face and said, yes, she was pursuing a ministry. She said she had already been talking with the American Diabetes Association. She was even entertaining the idea of wearing a prosthesis, something she hadn't wanted to think about before. When Anne had her surgery, her leg was amputated up to her knee. On the first day after her surgery, a new nurse's aide came into her hospital room to adjust her tray table. Somehow, the tray table came smashing down on Anne's bandaged leg. She said the pain was beyond excruciating. Her surgeon was very worried because the table had caused extensive damage to the surgical site. He was afraid it might not ever heal properly. Again, Anne returned to rehab, and our talks continued. She was still in a great deal of pain, and the healing was indeed proceeding very slowly. Anne began to say again, but this time with a twist, "I want to be able to walk out of here with an artificial leg. I want to begin my ministry." Her surgeon felt that she would benefit from being in the hyperbolic chamber, which helps to speed up healing. But he reminded her that because of the damage, it might not work. Again, things did not run smoothly. She'd have a successful session, then the next time her blood sugar would be too high and her session would have to be canceled. But through it all, Anne persevered. She had a mission and she wanted to get to it. And eventually, her leg began to heal. Her surgeon was quite amazed that despite the extra damage to the tissue, it was actually beginning to heal. 2 weeks ago, Anne and I walked down the hallway shoulder to shoulder. She was wearing her prosthetic leg. She was working hard during each and every one of her physical therapy sessions, doing everything that was asked of her despite the pain. As we walked together, Anne said to me, "You know, I was praying for the wrong thing. I should have had this surgery much earlier. I will be going home in 2 weeks. And I will be walking out of here." She pulled up the leg of her slacks to show me that she now had a jeweled butterfly engraved in her new leg. She said, "This butterfly is here to remind me that I was miraculously changed from a caterpillar into a butterfly." And Anne went home last Tuesday. There is a spark in Anne that wasn't going to give up, a driving force that wouldn't be stopped. She knew in her heart of hearts that what she needed to do. She believed in herself and in God, and that her new mission in life was to help other diabetic patients. And I suppose the reason Anne's story came to my mind was because of today's gospel reading. Here we see Mary, mother of Jesus, become the catalyst for the beginning of Jesus' ministry. As the writer of John records the miracle at Cana, it is the mother of Jesus who is mentioned first. It is the mother of Jesus that notices there is no wine. It is she who nudges her son to a miracle. And it is the mother of Jesus who believes that indeed the hour has come for Jesus to share God's love in an extravagant way. The text doesn't tell us what was behind Mary's words and deeds. Remember, Mary knew Jesus. She could say words to him because she knew that he had a gift, a gift that could be used for others. She trusted that Jesus could do what needed to be done. She trusted that Jesus could change the situation. Mary knew in her heart of hearts and from her history, because remember, she received the message from the angel, all things are possible with God, that Jesus could show the wonder, the miracle, the extravagance of God's love. Because of this knowledge, because of her trust in her son and in God, Mary could prod her son, nudge the divine, to be a catalyst to Jesus' extravagant generosity, bringing a sign of abundant grace, an overflow of wine and joy, in celebration and hope, commitment and love. Mary has an important role in this miraculous sign of Jesus. She notices what's happening and responds. She sees the difficulty at hand and takes action to help. We too can be like Mary, like Anne. We too can notice where there is something that needs to be done and encourage those who have the gifts to respond. Think for a moment. Who do you know that has a gift that St. Paul's or the community of the world needs? Take a look around you for a moment. There is someone who has the gifts of time and energy to serve in the vestry. Someone who has the gifts of patience and creativity, who can teach in church school. There are others with the gifts of faith and openness sitting next to you or behind you, who can work with our young people. There are folks who have the gift of musical ability to sing in the choir, or who can be a good lesson reader. Let's be Mary to and for each other, encouraging one another to share our gifts, to meet the needs we see around us. We can nudge the divine in each other. Nudge the gifts and the talents that reflect the image of God in which we are made. Our shared gifts might not be able to change water into wine, but they might change fear into moxie. They might change self-doubt into self-confidence. Our shared gifts can change a perspective of scarcity into a perspective of abundance. The miracle that Anne experienced wasn't that she could again walk with the aid of her prosthesis. No, it was the fact that her inner anguish turned to hope and then to determination to help others. Amen.